All right, class, welcome to Living by the Book, John chapter 5. You say, when are we going to go somewhere different? When you master this. In John chapter 5. Let me do a little reading. We go to verse 39, but I want to read a little bit. Verse 18. And therefore the Jews did persecute Jesus, sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath, and he had healed a man. He had healed him, and so the Jews are mad because he did it on the Sabbath, which is. Totally doesn't make any sense, but I understand it's people just being people. Verse 17, but Jesus answered and said, my Father worketh here too, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then said Jesus unto them, verily I say unto you, we're going to do a little reading, verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, there also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these that ye may marvel. Now, before we can finish reading, and I'm not stopping here, but while we're reading, I want you to understand while we're reading how much sense this makes without going off in the tongues or needing a divine interpretation or needing some kind of dove or nothing else. And I'm not trying to put anything down, but I want you to understand how the practical things are sitting in front of our faces, but we've been deceived to look for something foggy. It's living by the book. We're looking for, let me find the revelation. What a revelation is that? My Father doeth the work. Verse 21, for as the Father raised up the dead and quickened him, even so the quickening whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honored not the Son honored not the Father which has sent him. I want you to see something there too. He says the Son, he's talking about him, but he's talking about you too, because you are a son of God. You are a offspring of God. And if you do not honor your own offspringness, that ain't a word, but of your own character of being the offspring of God, then that means you're not honoring the Father. The only way, y'all better catch what I'm saying, the only way that you can honor the Father is not by Father, we honor you, Father, I worship you, Father, I pray. No, it's by being everything that he created you to be. This is living by the book, because you are the book. You are the living word of God. Watch this. Verily, verily, I say, verse 1, verily, I say to you, he that heareth the word and believeth on him that has sent me, he hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but passes from death to life. I want you to hear that he believeth on him that sent me. And here is my word. He that hears my word, this is Jesus talking, and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but passes from death to life. Listen, verily I say unto you, the hour is coming now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall hear and live. I want you to keep hearing the resounding thing about hearing the voice of the Son of God. Hearing the voice of the Son of God. Hearing the voice of the Son of God, keeping my words. Watch this. Verily, verse 25, verily I said, we read it already. Verse 26, for as the Father has life in himself, so has he given the Son to have life in himself. Verse 27, has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Listen to what I'm saying. And shall come forth. And they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Verse 31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that bear witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnessed of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bear witness of the truth, but I receive not testimony from man. But these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and were willing for a season to enjoy this light. I mean, rejoice in this light. But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father give me to finish, same works I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Listen, he's bearing witness of me. Listen, because you have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. You got to hear what he's saying right now. He's saying, you're so busy trying to hear God that you're not hearing me, the one that God sent. Then verse 38, you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, you believe not. Now, I need you to catch this, what I'm about to say, because this is going to be the premise of what this lesson will be. Look at verse 38 again. He say, and you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him you believe not. Now, you say, well, I believe Jesus. Do you? How often are you in the red words? Do you really believe him? How often? What's the level of your belief? 34, 64, 100? What's the level of your belief? Do you really believe him? For whom he has sent, you believe not. Now, why would he say that? And although I know he's talking to a set of people at this time in the scripture, and we learn that to take into context, every time that Jesus is talking, it transcends the time and the conversation and can be applied to any. So watch this. You have not his word about it because you believe not the one that he sent. Could it be that you don't believe in Jesus? Oh, blasphemy. I believe in the Lord. I'm saved. I said the prayer and confessed him. I've been a part of the church, whatever. Okay, cool. But do you believe on him? The believer on him said, the works that I do, shall you do also. So I'm trying to figure out why I ain't seeing these works of everybody believing in Jesus. In verse 39, search the scriptures. For in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Verse 40, and you will not come to me that you might have life. I'm going to keep reading. We're going to come back to verse 39. But I know you, and you have not the love of God in you. Now, I want you to love of God in you. The love of God, the scripture says, John says, God is love. God is love, and love is God, right? Which means when you talk about the love of God, it's talking about the identity of God. I know you ain't got the identity of God in you, because love is an identity. I came in my Father's name, and you received me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you receive. Now, I want us to find ourselves in 2021. Did Jesus come in his Father's name, and then we got these words written, but we're still not receiving them? Or we receive Paul, we receive Moses, we receive Noah, we receive all these things everybody else says, we receive all the miracle signs and wonders, and receive all these exciting things, and receive the worship, and receive the praise, and receive everything. But I'm down to these bare minimum words. How can you believe what you receive honor one from another and seek not the honor that comes from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, whom y'all trust. For you have believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writing, how shall you believe my words? Now he's saying, if you didn't believe Moses' words, how are you going to believe what I'm saying? And now I'm saying, if you ain't believe Jesus' words, which he read in the red and explained all of everything, of every single ounce of how life works, then how are you saying you want to hear God? That is God speaking to you right there. Now, I know we get into the conversation about the Logos and the Rhema. And I don't throw no rocks at me right now, because all that sounds so deep. And it makes the speaker sound, really the conversation makes the speaker sound deeper than anything. It makes them sound like, oh, they got, listen, calm down, Logos. And okay, written word, a live word. Written word. A live word, written word, rhema word, written word, a live word. So the word is written and the word becomes alive. Well, how exactly does the word become alive? I would hear these preachers preach for years and years and years, and these things will be folly, or they'll be up in the air, or they'll be abstract. The word of God comes alive to you. Well, how does the word of God come alive? First of all, who is the word of God? John 1 says the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So now we know the word is not some fictitious thing in the air or some audible thing that's going on, but it's actually a living, breathing, with skin, blood flowing through it, object or a live organism. Call his name Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. All right. And then also you all say, I am the word in the flesh. Okay. So now we know that that's the word. So if there's a written word, amen for that. But then there's a rhema word, which is a live word from God. Then what does alive mean? That means the only way to turn this from logos to rhema is you. Boy, y'all better hear what I'm saying right now. Living by the book. Living by the book. The only way to take this from, and we get all deep, we got all these words and everything, and all these words sometimes have made it more difficult. The tree of knowledge of good and evil had gave us so many understandings and knowledges that it made it so much difficult. Watch this. It's written right there. You be it. You become the rhema word of God. Okay. Okay, because we get deep. We start talking about the Bible and just, oh, we get deep. Okay, cool. Calm down. Calm down for a quick second. Emmanuel. Oh, y'all, you built something before, right? Or you put something together, or you got a new gadget or something. We've talked about it before and you had to put something together, right? So the manual, is it a live word or is it a written word? Oh, it's a written word on the paper, right? But if that thing tells you, press this button and the machine will begin to turn this key and the engine will start. Press this button and the washing machine will begin to spin, right? Turn this knob and the water will come out, right? I don't care what it says on that page. And that paper knows what it's talking about. Until you take it for verbatim what it says and then begin to act it out, it is not a live word to you. It is not a rhema word to you. There is no rhema or no revelation knowledge for you or no rhema word that doesn't involve you actually acting it out. So press the button and the light come on. Boop, light, word in the flesh. I'm about to make it simple for you. Turn the key and the car start. Doom, boom, the car started. Pulling out the water flow, right? If you pull a knob and the water don't flow, then you realize there's something deeper wrong with the process. Are you getting me? But it's very, very simple, but we've made it so deep. Logos and rhema. No, you are the rhema word of God. It don't become alive until you take it for face value and start doing it. And then here's the issue as well. See, the Bible is a complete story about who we are, the whole thing from Genesis to Revelation. But things can be empty if you do not let the red words, just like the red blood in your body, right? If you do not let the red words flow to all of your limbs. Sometimes you ever had a limb go numb? You know, you laid on your hand too long, and God forbid me for being cruel, but everybody does. I guess it ain't cruel. I guess it's a normal thing. You know, talk about it. But if you're sitting in the restroom too long, and you sit there for too long, then your feet will go numb because you're sitting there. You might be on your phone or reading something, and your feet will go numb. Yeah, it's only because there's a blood restriction flowing. Blood restriction from the blood flowing to those extremities. But if the blood flows to your extremities, these are the things that give you action and movement and feeling in there. It makes it alive. Blood is flowing to your brain and to your feet and to all your other organs. It's keeping them functioning and alive. Well, how is it can I function in something that's in Proverbs if I don't let the red words flow all the way there? But they can't flow there in my mind and in my understanding if I'm not in them, living by the book. You say, well, teach me about the Pentateuch and the Torah. Teach me about listen, if I could teach you all that, we've been learning all that for years and years and years, and we've been overlooking just dying in the red words. And so we've got to let these words in our souls and our minds bleed out. Jesus talking about, he said, nigga, how you gonna believe and you're not even, you talking about you believe, you ain't never seen the shape or his form, oh my God, but you don't want to believe the words that I'm saying. We're trying to bypass and get to another level of whatever we're talking about in God, and we haven't done the simple things. We haven't gone here and realized what he thought about everything. And these are the words that give life to everything else that's located in this book. You cannot go into the book of Acts. You cannot go into the Corinthians and Romans and all these other places without letting the red words flow. You say, well, they are flowing there. Aren't they really? I'm talking about in your soul. So the red becomes the beginning. Well, show me how your body gonna function without the blood, and I'll wait. Without, no, I'm talking about the blood of Jesus, the blood. No, I'm talking about your blood right now. If I cut your hand, you'll bleed a little bit. The blood is on the inside of you. Show me how your body is going to function without that blood. If you show me how your body can function without blood, I'll show you how the word of God works without the red words. You've got to dive into them. So he keeps saying, you don't hear my words. 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 There are things that we're searching for in the glory and all these other places that are sitting right here in the red words, but we won't stop to deny ourselves and sit there and look at it and become practical with them. The biggest thing that's ever happened is spookiness in the things of God. Ooh, it's not that spooky, bro. And then once you realize the simplicity and on the groundness of the red words and what Jesus is saying, then that power begins, is like static shock from you and begins to emanate from you without you saying a word. This is what I'm trying to tell you. Go read them. Jesus is your Savior, right? So he's your example, right? So go read them, and I want you to see how many times he says, and the word of the Lord came to me and told me to tell y'all. Or God spoke to me and told me to say this to y'all. Don't hear that too much, Jesus. Jesus began to say what he has to say because me and my Father are one. You understand me? Sometimes ritual and religion has put us on a search for something that's sitting right in us. So now you're looking for a revelation knowledge when the actuality, you are being revealed. But see, if I don't know that, y'all better hear what I'm saying. If I don't know that I am the word that's being revealed, then I'm looking for it somewhere. Low here, low there. Know the kingdom of God as well within you. But if I don't know that, if I don't know it, and this is what Jesus keeps telling me, he's kind of telling me this the whole time. Nobody else says the kingdom of God is within you. There's nowhere else in the scripture that somebody else is going to say the kingdom of God is within you. They didn't say it nowhere else. If they said it after them, they was only repeating what he's saying, and sometimes they don't even repeat that. Jesus was the first one to tell you that the kingdom of God is within you. So it's important to be in the real world because he's telling you someone. He's bringing you from all these other places and centering you on the inside of God, on the inside of you. We got these deferred faith and deferred beliefs, and they're over there and they're over there. Now, God give me another word. He ain't got to give you another one if he gave, what you talking about? And a lot of times I hear God, we're talking about deny yourself in my church on usual class. A lot of times I hear God and people say, God, give me direction. The first thing he's going to tell you is deny yourself. Because if you deny yourself, the direction will come out of you. Listen, God is not about yeses or noes. He's not about ups or downs. He's not about rights or wrongs. He's about alignment or unalignment. Are you lined up with the thing that I've already, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish. But are you aligned up with the word of God that's coming out of his mouth? And who that is? It's you. Are you lined up with your real self? You're almost like a shell of yourself because you're functioning and you're trying to go get something. Give me a word, Lord. We need a word. There it is. There's the word from the Lord right here. And Jesus said, 5:39, but he said, but you will not come to me. Could it be telling me that we won't drown in the red words? Could it be that simple? Could it be that simple that you searching every scripture and all these other things, but you won't come to these red ones? This red one is absolute. And I know sometimes people can't handle them because you start saying stuff like, leave your father and your mother and your wife and your children. You're like, I can't do that to God. I mean, I thought you gave me that. I'll prove. And people don't like talking about this because they think people are going to go off the rocker. But I'll prove to you that God will challenge you with something that he gave you. But if he gave it to me, he's not going to. Okay, watch this. Abraham and Isaac. Did God give Isaac to Abraham? He said, yeah, I'm going to give you an heir. Abraham messed it up, made Ishmael. We're not going to get to that story. We'll talk about that another time. But here's Isaac, the chosen one, the heir, the one that God promised, even though Abraham and Sarah laughed, the father of faith laughed at God. Y'all better catch yourself. Calm down. Isaac get a little older, and then God said, all right, here we go. Grab him, take him. Take him up on the mountain. Let's go. Get your sacrifice and stuff. Get your rope and everything, all the wood and everything you use to sacrifice. And let's go, give him back to me, right? If you go read that, you know, we get, oh, God supplied a ram. He wasn't going to kill him. He wasn't going to supply the ram. Well, God was trying to do what he was doing before he did it. God was trying to get man to live up to what he would do before he did it. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son and gave his son to die. It was a foreshadow. God was trying to get Abraham to do it way back there before all those years passed. But Abraham didn't want to do it. Why? Because Isaac started asking, well, where the lamb at? And then Abraham says, God is going to provide a ram. Well, God didn't say he's going to provide no ram. He didn't tell him that in the instructions. I don't know where he got the permission to say that from. Like, where did he get that scripture? Where did he quote that from? Where did he say that prayer? Well, God is going to provide a ram. Well, how could you say God is going to provide a ram when the only thing God told you was to bring him up there and sacrifice him? So now it's about to get to the point where he's going to sacrifice Isaac, right? Now, if we know God, we have the hindsight. We have the best hindsight in the world. We got the whole Bible. But if we know God, God is a resurrector. So if he tells him to sacrifice Isaac, there's going to be a resurrection that comes after that will change everything. But right when it's about to happen, the angel of the Lord says, stop. And he goes on. But I noticed that God will allow us to choose what we do, even though it may be the incompletion of his will. Then I got to do it with somebody else after that. I don't want to be, our generation shouldn't be that generation where God has to use somebody else because we won't deny ourselves and go all the way with him. That's too much. Don't. Okay, cool. That's what's up. Just do it like you do it. I'm not pushing you to do anything. I'm saying alignment. I'm saying alignment with the Father. And this is what God is looking like. My will is what it is, regardless of whether you choose it or not. The only reason Adam and Eve got to get out of the garden because they lost alignment. The way that we live by the book is realize that the book is about us, but we've got to allow the red ones, the red words, to be the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. We like to sing that song, right? Yeah, it's right here, red words. And we've got to allow that to be the blood that flows to every other doctrine, every other teaching, every other ministry, every other gift, every other position, every other thing, ministry, everything that we flow to, it's got to be flowed from the red words. You cannot take Ephesians 4 and begin to try to live in Ephesians 4. Even the beginning of Ephesians 4 said that we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Well, where's that at? Do you realize that everything you read from Acts, Romans, Corinthians, you know, Galatians, Ephesians, you know, Philippians, Colossians, all these different places, and I don't know if I said them in order, all those were written before the Gospels. So he's trying to explain the same thing about Jesus Christ, but he doesn't have Jesus' words to actually go to for somebody to go read them. The blessed ability that you have to go back and read the red words, actually hear the words that were said by Jesus the Christ, that supersedes everything you hear after that. So what you hear Paul say, or what you hear Timothy say, or what you hear Peter say, is only a watered-down version of what the red words say. But we will not come to me that we have everlasting life. Listen, the way to really live by the book is to dive, D-I-V-E, and then die, D-I-E, in these red words. And when we dive and die in the red words, we begin to resurrect and the blood starts to flow. And you'll see these prayers and these worships and these confessions and all these things you've been doing for years that seem like you're just being repetitive. And I know you'd be questioning sometimes, God, why is not working? That's okay, he understands. When those same prayers and those same confessions, those same beliefs that you've been trying to have for years that wasn't working, these red words and the blood begins to flow to them, and then they'll begin to manifest, and it'll be easy. My yoke is, he said, come to me, all y'all that labor and heavy laid. You've been working hard and been confessing hard and saying affirmations every morning, praying in tongues for 62 hours a week and all this different stuff and worshiping all day long, crying and snotting, and you hadn't been seeing the results of what you've been putting in. Why? Because there's no blood flowing to the limbs. When I get in these red words, the blood begins to flow to the limbs, and every doctrine, every belief, and everything that I have is going to cause it to line up, number one, and get into alignment, and then cause the power to flow through it. You know, you can have a plug and a socket. You can have a charger for your phone or whatever it is and plug a socket, but if you're plugging it into the socket but you're not lining it up properly and not lining up and then inserting it, you'll get no power. You can be right next to the plug and still not receive power. You can take the plug and put it on an electrical wire and still not receive the power. It is not until there's an alignment and there's a plug in. But I can't plug in until I'm aligned. So let the blood, let the red spread. Let the blood spread, just like I want you to see it. Just like it's spreading to your limbs and filling your fingers and your arms and your chest and your neck and your head and your brain and keeping your brain thinking and going all the way down to your body, to your loins and to your legs, to your hips, to your knees and to your feet, letting the blood flow. So shall we let the red words flow to every other part of the body of the Bible that's speaking about who we are. Amen. It's living by the book.